Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to say welcome today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And this is Pastor Ben Greer. We appreciate you listening in. I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 30 minutes. And we have got what I hope to be a good program for you today. Before we get into the content, though, I'd like to take just a moment and invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are in the area of Boone, we are located 1 mile from Barrett's Creek Road, going out of the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South. And I believe it's about 2 miles on the right-hand side, Baird's Creek Road. And we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So if you were leaving Boone, going towards Fosco, that's the direction that I'm talking about. And we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages. We have a college age class, and we have college students that come. We have several throughout the week. A lot of them come on Wednesday night at 7, but Sunday morning, 10 a.m. for all ages. And then Sunday morning worship service at 11, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Although this Sunday night, we are going to have play practice, and so we'll not be having a regular service this Sunday night, but normally we do. And then we got Christmas play coming up here before long, things like that. We all always have on Wednesday night at 7 our midweek prayer and Bible study. And we are currently studying the book of Mark. And we're in Mark chapter number 12. So in the last few chapters there in the book of Mark. But if you're in the area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us at any of these services. You can find out more on our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And you can find archived sermons on there. And also this radio broadcast. If you missed last week or 2 weeks ago and you're keeping up with the series we're doing, you can go to the church website and you can catch up on the radio broadcast. So we just wanted to let you know about that. We do appreciate all of our listeners. We also have this radio broadcast is broadcast on Saturdays on WZAP 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia, and also on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. I want to say how much I appreciate last week, Brother Rick Cornejo. He came and visited with us, and we talked about Veterans Day, and we talked about some of the opportunities and discounts that businesses were giving. So he usually comes in on Veterans Day and Memorial Day and visits with us, and I appreciate that so very much. Now, we've been doing a series entitled What I Can Do for My Country, and we started this back in the month of August. And we've not been in a big hurry to get through this, but we've just been taking our time and talking about some different things that we can do for our country. And we spent several weeks just on the subject of prayer. And we can pray for our nation. This is what the Bible tells us, first of all, that we're to do. And I've mentioned this every week, and I think it would be good if all we did was just reminded that we need to pray for our country, that would be something that would be worthwhile. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to pray first of all. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor, and he's giving him some advice. Here's what you can do. He said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so this is what the Bible says. First of all, pray. I noticed last week, and we just quickly mentioned this, when the terrorist attacks took place in Paris, the first thing that let me know that something was going on, I begin to see all these people posting, pray for France, pray for France. And I thought, why all of a sudden am I seeing all these things? And so I went to the news and I seen that there had been a terrorist attack. And so what did they do in a time of tragedy? What else can you do? Pray. And so they said, pray. So France needed prayer before it happened, and they need prayer definitely since that has happened. But our own country needs prayer. And every country, this is something that applies across the board to all people in all places of the world. Wherever you are, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. So pray. And our prayers certainly go out for our own nation and other nations. And then we said, second of all, there is the power of the gospel. And we have mentioned several things about this. The gospel changes lives. The gospel changes hearts and minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So some people would not see the benefit of the gospel. Well, to them, the preaching of the cross is just foolishness. But the Bible says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And so if you know the power of the gospel, you realize how powerful it is. If you've never experienced the power of the gospel, well, it wouldn't mean much to you. But if your heart and life has been touched by the power of the gospel, of the cross, of the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize the power that's there. You realize how, when we talk about lives being changed, that we're talking about truly lives being changed, being transformed, be from one direction, completely turning around and going in the other direction. And so the power of the gospel, and we gave example of great revivals of the past, the Great Awakening in America, the Second Great Awakening. There's been at least two times in America's history that God has sent revival, and it has literally saved our nation. And there was a great revival after the Civil War and the Second Great Awakening, and our nation was divided. It was tore in half. It was hurting. It was bleeding. 600,000 some people died during the Civil War. And this Great Awakening, God used that to bring our nation back together. And so God has used this down through time. The power of the gospel. Then we talked about churches, how important churches are. And when we are talking about churches, we're talking about the church that is in the local community. We're not talking about a institution. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a headquarters somewhere, but we're talking about the local, visible, active, gospel preaching, vibrant, living churches and the impact that they have had in our nation's history. We have Thanksgiving coming up, and we'll probably talk more about this next week. But we'll talk about the pilgrims when we talk about Thanksgiving. We'll talk about them coming over here. You know, they were a church. They were acting together as a local church and operating as a church. And they had a vision as a church people to come where they could worship and be free. So we talk about the importance of churches, what I can do for my country. In the 1830s, and I always get his name mixed up, but there's a gentleman came here from France. His name is Alex de Tocqueville. I think that's the way his name is pronounced. He wrote a book in the 1800s called Democracy in America. And what he did, the whole reason he came over here, was to find out what made America great. And he traveled all around. He researched, And then he went and wrote this book, Democracy in America. And here's what he said about the greatness of America. He said, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And so when he sought for the greatness of America, he didn't find it in the halls of Congress or in the business world or in the natural resources. But when he went into the churches, he said, and he heard the pulpits aflame with righteousness, he saw the genius and the greatness of America. And I want to say this again, what he said, America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And so the emphasis there is on the goodness and the greatness of our nation. Now that goes right along with what we're going to still look at today, and that is the subject of the model citizen. And we've started on this out of Romans chapter number 13. All we've looked at so far is verse number 1. But you remember the quote there, America is great because she is good. If she ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. And as we look here in Romans chapter number 13 and talk about the subject of the model citizen, we also find that the Bible says something about good versus evil. And the model citizen recognizes the difference between the two. And let me say also, the model government also recognizes that there is a difference between good and evil. Now, Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, if you know anything about the Bible and civil government, you know this is a verse that would be quoted quite often. Romans 13, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And we spent some time pointing out that the higher powers, what that is talking about, what that is referring to, that is talking about the law of the land. And we spent some time showing that Paul, it was in Paul's interest that every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That was an appeal by the Apostle Paul to the law. And if you read and study about the life of the Apostle Paul, what you find out is that he kept appealing to a higher court, and he ended up in Rome. So it's interesting. He's writing to the Romans, and he ended up in Rome, and it was actually Rome that was responsible for putting the Apostle Paul to death. But Paul writes to the Romans, and he does not say rebel against your government, but he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. If those that dealt with the Apostle Paul had followed the law, they would have set him at liberty. But they did not follow the law. They followed the will of the people. They did what would please the people. And so when Paul said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, the Roman government did not do that, did not follow their own law. They followed and they did what the people wanted. But it would have been to his advantage for every soul from Caesar right on down to be subject unto the higher powers. So that was an appeal to the law of the land being obeyed. Now, in America, the higher powers is the United States Constitution. Our Constitution in Article Number 6 says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It is to be obeyed by everyone, even the judges. It says that in Article 6. You ought to find it and read it. And so the judges, the president, the congressmen, the senators, the representatives, the state governor, the state legislators, the mayor, the register of deeds, right on down the line, the sheriff, the policemen, all of them, even firefighters, They all take an oath in some way to uphold and defend the Constitution. Why do they do that? Because that's the supreme law of the land. That is what is to guide us. And if we ever lose that, we've lost our nation. So it's very, very important. And so we're for following what the Bible says. Let every soul, everybody from the president on down, be subject unto the higher powers. Now that is all that we've dealt with so far as being a model citizen. That is Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now in the time remaining, we're going to go down through the next 7 verses. And we're going to expound on what that means. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So verse number 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, what he's saying, verse number 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power. And what he's talking about is the power, the law of the land. Resisteth the ordinance of God. Now, the power that human government has is compared to the ordinance of God. And I want to say something right here. Human government is not an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It is a necessary thing. Human government is actually ordained of God. It's what the Bible says. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. God has ordained. Actually, let me just say this right here. There are 3 divine institutions. What I mean by that, there are 3 institutions that all of mankind recognizes, and the idea come from God. And the first divine institution is the family. Who made the family? God made the family. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible talks over there. He made them male and female. He told them, go replenish the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. And the only combination that can go and be fruitful and multiply is the male and the female. The family is uniquely God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's design for the human race to propagate, to replenish, to fill the earth. And so when we're talking about marriage and we're talking about what is it? Well, it's God's idea. So I guess God gets to say what it is. And it's between a man and a woman. That is a divine institution. Now, human government is also God's idea. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6, after the flood upon the earth, God told Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he him. And so God set the stage for human government when he said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, if somebody goes out here and kills somebody else, that's what that's talking about. This is capital punishment. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So somebody goes out here and commits first degree murder, according to the Bible, we find the death sentence upon them, and man has to carry that out. Why? God said, for in the image of God made he him. So God himself set the stage for human government. And actually what we find here in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6, we find the first reference to law enforcement. Somebody has to enforce the law. Somebody has to carry out the law of God. God said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Somebody has to represent the law. And so we have the idea of law enforcement first of all, or first mentioned there in the Bible. So there's 3 divine institutions. There's the family, there's human government, and we see a nation, we see a world that is turned its back upon God and doesn't want God mentioned, does not want the Ten Commandments mentioned, does not want prayer in public a lot of times. Is that not indicative of a society that's turned its back on God? They've attacked the family and they've attacked human government. And so a lot of people, they want anarchy. They'd rather see everything burn up than go along good. Well, we got to go along. The third one is the church, and we've talked about the church before. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:18, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, when he was talking to Peter, Peter's name means a little rock. And so Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, "Thou art Peter, you're a little rock. But upon this rock," and Jesus was referring to himself, that word rock means a huge rock, a gigantic rock. Jesus said, "Upon this rock," meaning upon himself, "he would build the church." So there's the famine, and there's human government, and there's the church. And so we go back to verse 2. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God." God established human government. "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Now, that's not talking about dying and going to hell damnation. That's talking about condemnation under human law. If you resist the power, if you rebel against human government, you're going to suffer the consequences. That's what that's saying there in verse number 2. Now, in verse number 3, look what it says. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Now, we might ask ourselves today, what is the purpose of government anyway? Why did God establish government? Is it to give us health care? Is it to give us free college tuition? Is it to tax us? Is it to do all these things? Is it to build roads? What is the purpose of human government? The purpose of human government, according to the Bible, is this: rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. The answer to that, what is the purpose of government? It is to oppose and punish evil. That's the primary purpose of human government, is to oppose and punish that which is evil. Now he says in verse number 3, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." So what he's saying there, if you do good, if you obey the law, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll actually be praised of the same. The government will praise you. They will be on the same page as the government. In verse number 4, he says, "For he," talking about the authorities, the rulers, "he is the minister of God to thee for good." Now notice down through this passage of Scripture, good and evil is mentioned over and over and over again. He is the minister of God to thee for good. Government should be a blessing. Government should be a help. Government should be a shield against the forces of evil. Now, he said in the last part of verse number 4, "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So somebody goes out here and first degree murder, they just up and kill somebody else. God has given the authority to carry out vengeance to the government. And so the government has the authority for capital punishment. If somebody has done evil, God has put in place. This is why God doesn't strike people dead with lightning from heaven. I mean, he may do that. That's his prerogative. But God has given authority to human government. If somebody goes out here and does evil, God has given authority to the government to go out here, track them down, find them, catch them, and carry out wrath upon them. That's what the Bible is saying here. Carry out vengeance upon them. It's our responsibility to police ourselves. Well, we've Stop doing that. Well, we have a lot of evil that goes on. There is a way to stop that. We find that in the Bible. Well, he goes on, verse number 5, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake.
I'm Mike Rayleigh.
Okay,
Russian
wherefore ye must needs
ISIS
be subject.
It's
that word
Syria,
wherefore.
Today with
you go back. What are they
bombs.
There for? What is
CBS
that there
News
for?
Military consultant
because
Colonel
they have
Jeff
a responsibility to protect from and to punish that which is evil.
Out these
so it is saying, wherefore, this is why
degree,
you need to be subject unto them. Not only for wrath, but also for conscience.
U.S. policymakers have made
verse number six,
is that the Russian for, efforts
for,
so far
for
have
this
been primarily
cause pay ye
not against
also,
ISIS, but against other
for their
Syrian
God's
groups
ministers
who are opposed to
continually upon this very
Governor
thing.
Pat McCrory is among
so in
the
verse
governors
number six,
President
you have
Obama
the reason
not to send
to pay taxes, to pay tribute for this
McCrory
cause, pay ye tribute also
risk after the terror
for this
in
cause,
governor of this
for their
state
God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. The full-time job, number one, primarily, of the government is to attend continually. It is a full-time job to just protect from evildoers. There's a lot of evildoers in the world. There's a lot of murder. There's a lot of raping. There's a lot of stealing that has gone on since the dawn of time. And so somebody has to attend continually to protecting
the good in the Mediterranean
from the
to cooperate
evil.
With the French
and so
military
he said, for this cause, pay tribute.
A small
now,
plane made an emergency landing on
the
side of
the
Business 85 Monday. Three people were on board the plane. It was on its way from Tennessee to Siler City. No one was injured.
Me
the pilot, Cliff Evans, tells WFMY-TV.
The church doesn't need
but
the government's help.
I mean,
but let me tell you something. The government that's doing right needs our help.
Unfortunately,
they need support.
No one was injured. You're listening to NCN News.
Continually upon this thing. There's not only evil locally.
Good news, basketball fans. The 2015 ACC Basketball Annual Magazine is on newsstands everywhere right now. Be the basketball fan who knows everything about your team and all your rivals by picking up 180 pages of projections, expert analysis, and predictions. With 10 pages dedicated to each team, you won't find this much information on the ACC anywhere else. If your newsstand is sold out, purchase your copy online at accsports.com.
Spend this weekend with your Carolina Hurricanes as they host Toronto Friday night and the LA Kings on Sunday afternoon. The puck drops at PNC Arena Friday night at 7 and then on Sunday afternoon at 1. Join the Red Volution and skate to CarolinaHurricanes.com/tickets. Also win great prizes in the Canes with DG contest by tweeting the David Glenn Show a picture of you in your Canes gear. It's the Canes Maple Leafs Friday and the Canes Kings on Sunday at PNC Arena. Join the Red Volution and visit CarolinaHurricanes.com/tickets today.
Coming to this country, if we have to worry about
a
invasion
former UNC
from another
student
land,
had a front row seat
then it
to the
robs
terrorist attacks in Paris, France,
liberty.
And the world's
so
reaction to that.
One responsibility
Theo
is Matavall to
was an exchange student at Carolina
that
and now
freedom
reports for Europe
and liberty
one.
Might also
most
be
radio
protected.
News
and I do Matavall not think you'll find a group
the chaos
of people more supportive
unfolding.
Of good people government than churches, Bible believers, patriotic people.
As for America's reaction to the attacks, Manavol says it's been spot on. He says the way American people reacted is probably the same way French people reacted during 9/11 in 2001.
Praying for our leaders.
Actor Charlie Sheen says he has AIDS. Sheen was on NBC's Today Show today and explains how he discovered he
lived in a country that
the HIV virus.
It started with one I found based on this.
Bad things we can say, there's a lot of things we don't agree with, but that which we do, we wholeheartedly agree with and pray for, and that's a blessing. Christian people, churches, should be on the same side with the government against the evil and for the good.
Involving a student. 35-year-old Tiga Watkins Helton of Gastonia is charged with one count of sexual activity between school personnel and a student. Officials say Helton resigned from her job at the high school in October.
Then a good citizen will oppose that.
Breather
that's
while you eat and enjoy your food more.
Citizen.
Correspondent Jim Shenefee explains.
5, verse
the key
nine,
to enjoying
Peter
your food more may be to taking
God
a breather at mealtime.
Rather than
researchers
men.
At Penn State and
well,
Yale University
we got about
say
seconds.
Eating
we
mixed with measured, relaxed breathing
the
allows for the
of
intake of more chewed
radio
food
broadcast.
Particles,
it is a
enhancing both
of the Mount
the smell
Lebanon
and
Baptist
the flavor
church.
Of the meal.
And if you'd like
when
to find out more information,
in the back of the mouth
the
in a
church
cavity
or
outside
the
path
radio
of the main
broadcast,
by relaxed,
you can
even breathing
look us up
while
on
eating,
the church
these
website,
particles are picked
Mount
up by
Lebanon,
olfactory cells,
BC.
And that enhances the eating
O-R-G.
Process.
Mike Rayleigh, NCN News.
Hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
NCN News, I'm Mike Riley. Russian planes have struck.